Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening and open up to Psalm chapter 145 in the Word of God tonight. Psalm chapter 145. And would you please stand for the reading of God's Word this evening? If your health allows you to, would you please stand out of respect for God's Word? The book of Psalm chapter 145. I'm just going to read four verses here at the beginning of this chapter, Psalm 145. Would you follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 1? The Bible says this, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. This evening, I'd like to preach a message entitled, A Season of Praise. A Season of Praise. Let's go to our Savior in prayer. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would allow us to learn and to grow in you tonight. Father, it's not just about us. And it's not just about music and singing, but Father, the service this evening is truly all about you. It's not just another Sunday evening, but it is a time once again that we can come and grow in your word and be more like you. And so I ask, Savior, that you would meet with us now. Father, not on one side or the other, but right in the midst. Father, I ask, Savior, for the words to say, may your word not return void. Father, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, David is the author of this psalm. As we study David's life, we understand that David's life did not always go as planned. In fact, the introduction to David's life comes in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. The chapter before that, in chapter number 15, we learn of King Saul at that time had not completely followed God's will for his life, and he really disobeyed God, and so the prophet comes on the scene and gives the bad news that Saul's kingdom is going to be taken from him. God commands the prophet to go and to anoint him another king. And as David is there and watching the sheep, the son of Jesse, the prophet goes to Jesse's house and he begins to go one by one through David's brothers of who is going to be the next king. One after another, they go through and none of them are going to be the next king. And so the prophet asks Jesse, do you have any other sons? The amazing thing about the introduction to David's life is they really forgot that David wasn't even there. Oh, yes, I do remember we do have another son. His name is David. He's out in the field. And the prophet in that passage of Scripture, chapter 16 and verse number 11 says, go and fetch him. We're not even going to sit down until he gets here. David's life from there really has some ups and downs. In chapter number 17, we know very familiar passage of Scripture, the story of David versus Goliath. In verses number 29, he makes that statement that is such a challenge. And we've heard so many messages preached where David stands up and says, is there not a cause? As on one side you have the Philistines and on the other you have the Israelites and this giant that is cursing the God of Israel. No one will take a stand, but David took a stand that day. Saul gets jealous and begins to chase David, and we learn in David's life really the ebb and flow, the ups and downs. In 2 Samuel, we find in that book really the kingdom of David. David lives his life, and we know just like all men, David falls and goes back and forth where he's serving God, and then he's not, and then he falls into temptation, he falls into sin, but he gets right with God. And in many ways, David really had a heart for God throughout 2 Samuel, but we find towards the end of his life in chapter number 22 where David goes onto the battlefield and once again faces another giant. This giant is named Ish-bibi-nob. As David thinks that he can take on this giant, this giant that is the son of the giant that David had killed so many decades earlier, David knows in his heart that maybe he can, but his strength was not there. We find a young man by the name of Abishai that steps on the scene and slays this giant for David. And at that time, Israel says, David, you are no longer allowed to go into battle. David at this time is around 65 to 70 years of age, and David now in his heart knows that his days of fighting, his days on the battlefield are coming to an end. And David begins to write at the end of his life. In 2 Samuel chapter number 22, we find a similar passage of scripture that we find here in this psalm, Psalm 145. In this psalm, the psalm we have tonight is one of David's last hymns that he wrote. It is called, if you saw in the title there, David's Psalm of Praise. This is the only psalm that has that inscription. It is a psalm of pure praise. It's really a psalm that is all about worship and is truly a fitting end to the Davidic Psalms that brings all the other hymns that David wrote really to this climax. And as David is writing of his last works, he didn't have the attitude, okay, I'm going to write this psalm out. I'm going to write this hymn to God as I'm nearing the end of my life. And he doesn't write this psalm complaining that sometimes God's judgment was too hard on him. He didn't begin to write this hymn and say, well, I had some good times, but honestly, at times life really wasn't fair. No, what we find in David's, the last of his season, the end of his life, David begins to write about his relationship with God. He begins to write how much his Savior means to him. He begins to write about his praise and honor and worship that he gives to his God. And as you and I come to an end here at the beginning of December, as you and I begin to close this year out, as you and I look back at 2018, the season of this year, and as we begin to reflect on all that has taken place, may this Christmas season and may this month, the middle of this month, towards the end of this month, may it truly be a season of praise. You may say, Brother Shepherd, it might be easy for you to say, but for me, when I reflect on 2018, it was not the best year for me. Maybe you lost a mom or a dad, or maybe you lost a spouse, or maybe you got bad news from a doctor, or maybe there's a child or a teenager or a college student here tonight. When you reflect at 2018, man, this wasn't the apex of your life. This is not a year that you really want to go back and reflect on. Maybe your parents got divorced, or maybe some tragedy took place in your life, or parents, maybe a teenager went rogue and went away from the things of God. And when you look back at this year, you say, man, I'll be honest, I can't have the focus that David had. When I reflect on this year, I really don't see this season of praise. But like David, you and I must reflect on the relationship that we have with him. The more that we know him, the more that we see how good our Savior is to us. I want us to look at a season of praise tonight and look at that relationship that David was laying down for us. And tonight, I want us to look first of all at a personal relationship. Number one, a personal relationship. Look at verse number one, if you would, here with me. In chapter number 145, here in the book of Psalm, look at verse number one. Watch what David says. He says, I will extol thee, my King, my God. Think about this for a moment. When David began to reflect, he called God, my God, O King. It's a very personal relationship that David had with his Savior. You see, many today are looking for something that will make them feel good. There are many today, even through this Christmas season here in the AV Valley here, that this area that you and I serve in, there are many that were looking for something that's going to make them happy. There might be even over the next several Sundays as we pass out tracts and invite cards and take this insert out of the bulletin and we invite people in. I know even this past week with Brother David Adams, as we were knocking doors, the folks that I were able to talk to, they were excited about coming and seeing a Christmas cantata and watching the kids play in a nativity scene and these things. You see, this time of year, there are a lot of people that are looking for something that will make them feel good. May I say this evening, understand this, there are those who will search and they'll look and they'll go everywhere and they'll try to fill this void that they have in their life. Maybe they'll look to church or the baptistry or communion or confirmation or maybe something that mom and dad did in their past, or they'll look towards a saint or morality or sincerity. They're looking for this religion. But friend, may I say tonight, you can have all the religion you want and you can be faithful to church and you can put money in the offering plate. You can sing in the choir and you can teach a Sunday school class. And these things are good and great. But let me say, those things are not the things that are going to make you happy in your life. Those things are good and great, but I'm here to tell you, you can do that for the rest of your days on earth, but that doesn't mean that you're going to go to heaven one day. It's a relationship with Him. If you're looking for something that'll bring you happiness, look for a personal relationship with God. It's not just attendance in church. It's not just saying, well, I think something happened in my life. It's not looking up and, well, I had this epiphany one day and God was really good, so now I'm saved. No, understand, it is a personal relationship with Him. In fact, the Bible puts it this way in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible puts very clearly in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The book of Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may sit here tonight and say, oh, Brother Shepherd, I appreciate that and I like that, but you don't know where I've been. You don't know where I come from. You don't know my background. You don't know my family tree. Friend, I don't know you and I don't know your background. I don't know your family tree. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you, my friend. The Bible says it like this, for whosoever, that means this, anybody and everybody, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you going through a difficult time tonight? Is your heart heavy? Are you going into the Christmas season thinking, here we go again. I got to buy toys. I got to go to parties. I got to be here and I got to do this. Understand, don't let your heart be heavy tonight. In fact, the disciples were going through a tough time in their life. They didn't know what Christ was talking about when He's talking about going to this tree and going to dying for them. And man, their heart became heavy. And Jesus looked at them and said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. It's only through Jesus Christ. We see, first of all, a personal relationship, but secondly, we see a permanent relationship. Would you look at verse number 2 with me? Look at verse number 2. The Bible says this, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. There is a strong movement today across our nation that is teaching that you can lose your salvation. I make a statement tonight that goes contrary to what the very Word of God says. To teach and preach that mankind can lose their salvation is a false doctrine that goes against the very Bible that you and I hold in our hands tonight. John chapter 3 and verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. My friend, don't listen to the lies of man. If God has the power to save you, He has the power to keep you saved. John chapter 10 and verse number 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." For someone to say or make the statement, "Well, I'm saved, but I've got to work to keep it." Understand, friend, that goes contrary to the Word of God. You see, our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing that you and I do to gain our salvation. Neither is there anything that you and I do to keep our salvation. It is only through Him. But what an encouraging passage of Scripture that every day we can praise Him. David said, "Every day will I bless thee." No matter what's taking place in our life, you and I ought to always have the attitude to praise our Savior. Psalm 148 and verse number 1, listen very carefully. The Bible says this: "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all ye angels. Praise ye Him, all His host. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters and that which is above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created." His desire is for us to praise Him here, not just in church, but at home, not just at home, but in our workplace, not just in the workplace, but in the car, and everywhere that you and I are, may you and I continually have this spirit and this attitude of praise towards Him. The lost world, we understand. The lost world has really a negative view on just about everything nowadays. Why is the lost world like that? Well, the lost world doesn't have a moral compass. They don't have the Holy Spirit that leads, guides, directs, give that joy, peace, and happiness. We understand that. But as you and I as Christians, may we never allow that negativity to affect our hearts. Amen. You and I always have something to praise our Lord for. You and I always have a new direction, a new path, a new guide. Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. He's working in us. It's amazing when you and I, we may come in discouraged into church. Maybe we've had a hard week, or maybe we've had a bad day. Maybe we've gone through it. Maybe we've been struggling with some things. But understand this, when we get in here and we begin to sing praise to Him, when we begin to worship Him, when we have Pastor Chapel stand in the pulpit and begin to preach, when we get done and enter into an invitation, our hearts ought to be more towards or tuned into a more praising type of attitude and spirit. Why? Because we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords living inside of us. A personal relationship, a permanent relationship. But also we see in this passage of Scripture, number three, a powerful relationship. Would you look at verse number three here in our psalm? Verse number three says this: "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Think about that verse for just a moment. What an incredible thought that we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords working on our behalf. What is it that you and I have come into this building tonight struggling with? What is it tonight that you and I are dwelling on? What is it in our life that we've come in and, man, we don't have that season of praise? We don't have that attitude. We don't have that attribute in us that maybe David had. Isn't it amazing that the thought here is that the Lord is greatly to be praised and His greatness is unsearchable. Whatever it is, my friend, that you're struggling with tonight, our Savior has the power to overcome. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4, "Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." John chapter 16 and verse number 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace, and in the world ye may have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Matthew 28, 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Whatever it is that you're struggling struggling with today. God has the power to overcome those things for you and I. God is here. God is in this place. God is working on your behalf. Yes, maybe you had a bad year. Yes, maybe you're struggling. Yes, maybe you're down. But isn't it amazing in our life, we trust God to get us to heaven one day. We put our faith and our trust in Him to live with Him for all of eternity. Yeah, that's good and that's great. But when it comes to the menial things of life, when it comes to the little concerns and the little worries, we spend more time fretting, more time worrying, more time pacing, more time seeking advice from someone else than we do going to the God who created the universe. It's incredible in a passage of Scripture in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 16, God talks about creating the great lights, the sun and the moon. And then in five words, He says this, and He created the stars also. Five words, that's all He gives to possibly now scientists say up towards a trillion galaxies. And in every one of those galaxies, scientists say now there could be a trillion stars in every one of those trillion galaxies that's out there. And God didn't spend time in the Word of God talking about that. Just five little words and boom, it was all out there. It's amazing to think about in Psalm 147 and verse number 4 that He counts and He knows the number of stars. And the Bible says that He calls them all by name. And you and I are concerned about a bill. And yet this is the God who works on our behalf. And you and I are concerned because the doctor came in and said, well, I think your cholesterol is a little high. Oh, what am I going to do? Remember, the God who created all that is, He's on our side. The power that God has, the power that created the universe, that's the power that saved you and I. That's the power that defeated death. That's the power that loves us. That's the power that is here for you and for me. In 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's not going into this season of stressing and worrying and, oh, I'll never get through and, oh, there's so much going on. And, oh, I'll never make it. It's not going through this season stressed out about whatever it is. No, it's going through this season praising Him because we have a relationship with the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We have a relationship with God Almighty, the God who has always existed and exists today and will always exist. What an amazing thought that that's the God you and I have a relationship with. Oh, it's a relationship of power. But watch this, and finally tonight, it is a passing relationship. A passing relationship. Verse number 4, would you look at it with me? The Bible says this. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I remember when I was young, I would listen to my parents talk with their parents, and they would say stuff like this. Oh, life is so fast. And as a little kid, I'd sit there and say, no, it's not. Slow. Through my teen years, oh, I can't wait to be 50. Can't wait to be 60. Can't wait to be in college. Can't wait to get my degree. Can't wait to get married. Can't wait to have kids. Can't wait till they're out of the house. No, I'm just kidding. Always looking to. But I understand now at 35 years old, I can say what my parents and what my grandparents talked about is true. Life is fast. Does it seem the older you get, you just put your Christmas tree and all the decorations away and you blink and you're getting it right back out? How many agree we ought to just leave it up year round? Amen? Such a pain. Oh, such a pain. The Bible says it like this. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our praise ought to be directed towards our Savior, but our praise ought to be handed down to the next generation. I know that Pastor talks a lot about millennials, and even tonight, introducing me, talks about millennials. May I say this, I've never met a man who was more focused on bringing up a generation behind him to serve God than this man right here. I remember years ago becoming a young pastor, and there was not in my life the honest truth. I would say this even if Pastor was not sitting here tonight. This is not about a Christmas bonus, okay? This is the truth. Oh, what a man, amen. As a young pastor at 26 years old, there was no one who helped me more as a young pastor than Pastor Chapel. Sent books, he had never met me, wrote cards, in a great way challenged me to serve God with my life. It's one generation praising God and handing it down to the next generation. I tell the Gen Z generation just about every day in an Old Testament class and preaching to millennials every single week at West Coast Baptist College, understand this. There may be generations that might complain about us, but there are generations before us that love us and want to see us do what's right and hold the banner high and go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ, to build churches that love Jesus and stand on the Word of God, and stand for truth, are passionate about winning souls. The generation before us, they're not all against us. Oh, there are those that they truly are handing a mantle down for us to go forward, to push forward, to do more for Jesus, to dream bolder, to do what maybe mankind has never done before, and that's, once again, turn this world upside down for the cause of Jesus Christ. It's a praise towards him. It was several months ago, I will never forget. I sat in my office and Brother Stensis came in. Brother Stensis and I began to have a very deep conversation about the future. We began to talk and really even pray about the future of West Coast Baptist College and following Pastor's dream and getting, Lord willing, thousands, if the Lord tarries, of college students in, trained and on the mission fields, and youth pastors and music men and preachers standing behind the pulpit thundering the Word of God. We begin to talk about all these things. Brother Stensis began to tell me about his ministry there in Africa and everything that God had done. I don't say this about all men, but there are men in my life like my father who are truly one of my heroes of the faith. And may I say publicly tonight, Brother Stensis is one of those men in my life. As we sat there, Brother Stensis began to explain to me the problems that he's having with his feet, the pain that he's in, and really surface. But I began to dig deeper and ask him this and that, and just begin to say, and to be honest with you, in that very office, we both begin to cry. Begin to tear up just talking about Brother Stensis and his health. And after he began telling me everything that is taking place in his life and in his health, here's what he said. I wrote it down in my Bible. I'll never forget. I sure thank God he allows me to serve him. Brother Stensis' heart was not, why is this happening to me? Oh yeah, this is real fair. Thanks a lot, God, after everything I've done in Africa and now running the missions program here at West Coast Baptist College, after recruiting, after being on my feet all these years. Thank you very much, Lord. This is how I'm going to end, with pain every day, with barely being able to walk, with carrying a cane that I'm sure he just doesn't like to carry at his age. That's not how that conversation ended. No, it ended like this. I sure thank God he allows me to serve Him. That's one generation passing down to another generation. It's not all about me, and it's not what I built, it's not what I've done, it's not what I've suffered, it's not, oh, woe is me, and it's not, this isn't fair. No, it was one man saying to the next generation, I sure am glad I get to serve God. I'm just going to keep working till He comes or till He calls me home. I'm just going to keep on going. I'm just going to keep praising. I'm going to keep singing. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep recruiting. I'm going to keep praising. I'm going to keep preaching. May that be our hearts tonight. What if that was you and I? At this even, we just, for just a moment, stop thinking about college football. For just a moment, stop thinking about credit card bills. For just a moment, stop thinking about the hustle and bustle of this season. What if just for a moment, like David at the end of his life, just stop and give Him praise? Yeah.